What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And the lovely Taylor Tomlinson will not be able to be here today, but we are joined by the incredible Katie McHugh.
Oh, Katie McHugh. She has degrees in environmental science and public health, and she is your average American feminist and co-host of the podcast For Your Misinformation. And the show aims to empower women to get more politically engaged and tips to stay sane along the way. Oh, my God.
Gosh. Yeah.
And we really dug into active citizenship in this episode. And just, you know, we've talked about how politics really just makes my brain explode. It's just such an overwhelming topic for me.
If it gets brought up at a party, I feel like you and I just kind of both slowly slink into the bag. Like, I'm going to go get more chips. Bye.
It's like that Homer Simpson meme. Have you seen where he's like going back in the bushes? That's how I feel with politics. And it's not just because it can divide a room or anything, but it's because I feel dumb. I really do. Like, I don't feel like I know enough information, and I can't make like any kind of educated addition, you know, to the topic.
Right.
And so I just kind of sit there quiet, and it's kind of made me nervous to even try to get more active because I feel like I'm gonna mess things up even more
right.
than they already are.
Right.
But that's what I love about Katie's show is that like she breaks it down into one specific topic, and then at the end of the topic, she'll give you like an action step to actually do to, you know, help out this whole crazy situation.
Definitely.
So you just got to take it a step at a time because, I mean, I'm someone who doesn't even understand the basic structure of government. You know what I mean? It does not sit in my brain well. I don't absorb it well. I don't know what it is, but...
It's the Schoolhouse Rock shit. Like, even they tried. They put it in little cartoons and did little sing songs. And I still remember just looking at that with like dead eyes when I was 8. Like, nope, still not getting it.
Where it's
help.
Like that song. A bill. A bill because I'm
sitting on Capitol Hill. This means fucking nothing to me.
No.
Try something else because I don't get it.
It's so many things. It's so many things. So, you know, if you need things broken down into layman's terms, then this is something to definitely check out.
Yeah.
Because, you guys, there's an election coming up and I want to make sure that I'm voting in my best interest.
Right.
You know, because I think you can really accidentally vote for the wrong things if you don't know what's happening.
Absolutely. So,
well,
she had a lot to say and it was fantastic to have her on. So here is our interview with Katie and then we will do some segments with you guys after the interview.
Yeah. You guys, we are so excited
for today's guest. Please give it up for Katie McHugh, everybody.
Yay.
You guys, Katie is amazing, and she happens to also be one of my one-on-one creative consulting clients, and she came to me with this podcast idea for Your Misinformation, and
great title.
I was like, you know, it's so good. Everything about it is so good, and your approach to politics is so good, and I'm like, wait a minute, I have actually been looking for a podcast like this for myself. I need to help you with this. Please, you know, let me be your consultant. And it is such a fantastic product, and I'm just so excited to dig into this episode because I think, you know, myself, I think you as well, like, we've been pretty open about our own relationship with politics on the show and how I feel like politics and government and history and all those things, those are like my biggest insecurities when it comes to discussing things or topics. Like, I don't feel knowledgeable about them. I don't feel equipped to talk about them. I shy away from the conversation. Yeah. It feels very complex and overwhelming. And I think those topics can also feel very, like, politics can feel very hopeless for me because I feel like I can't make a very big difference. But I love your approach, Katie, because you're very much of that that quote that we love where it's like, we don't need a handful of people doing things perfectly. We need millions of people doing it imperfectly. Yes. And so I love your show because you tell us what's actually going on and you break it down into ways people like me can understand.
Yeah.
And then you give action tips on how you can actually make a difference that day.
Yes.
So let's kick it off to you. And maybe we start with, how did you get inspired to be so politically active? Where does this come from?
So I think in a lot of families, people don't talk about politics. They think it's kind of a taboo subject. Mm-hmm. But as I think we're learning with, like, when women talk about their salaries and when all this other stuff goes.
Come up on the mic just a little bit. Okay. There you go. Perfect.
The more, like, transparency that there is, that benefits the people who aren't in power. Like, when people don't talk about things like politics with each other, it just keeps the people in power. So it's really important to talk about it. I think women especially are kind of discouraged, and it feels young women especially, it feels a little bit like we're not invited to the party. We, at least with all of my friends, I mean, we are all, like, smart, intelligent, capable women, and our voices matter, like, just as much as everybody else's. And I tend to be a perfectionist, like, I think you guys and probably some of your other listeners. And for a long time, it felt kind of like, well, if I can't fix everything, why bother trying to fix anything at all?
God. Yes.
And it just doesn't work like that. Like, there's always something that you can do. So what Morgan and I try to do on our podcast is talk about, like, things that we can do, but also, like, the specific actions that we are taking. So you know that we're not just, like, we're walking the walk too.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing the best that we can. And she's very much an extrovert, so the skills that she has and things that she does are very different from the things that I do. I do a lot of, like, letter writing and donating to campaigns and stuff like that. I have knocked on doors before.
You are a badass bitch.
That was not for me. I learned that
were people disappointed when you didn't have Girl Scout cookies? I just want to talk to them about politics.
They didn't want to talk. Actually, you know, it wasn't that bad. I would say, like, 19 out of 20 doors were great, but the 20th door was, they weren't the friendliest, and I walked away pretty dejected, and I was like, okay, this is not for me. I'll leave this to people like Morgan who like talking to people.
Well, I love that. I mean, yeah, that all sounds great. And, like, I have been in situations where, like, in a group when politics starts to be discussed, like, I feel, myself included, I feel the women shy away from it.
Yeah.
And, like, the guys just kind of take over. And it just feels like this dick measuring contest in so many ways. I'm like, okay, I don't feel like confident enough to interject here.
Yeah.
Were you always interested in politics? Like, as a kid, were you, like, class president or anything like that? Or, like,
No, I was, like, pretty shy. So no, but I did, like, talk about it with my family a lot. Like, they made civic engagement kind of an important part. Like, voting was always an important part of our family. I wasn't old enough to vote for Barack Obama in 2008, but I went downtown to Grant Park to, like, hear him speak afterwards, and it was very empowering. So
that's so cool.
It's been really great.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And then I think like a lot of people our age, when the 2016 election happened, it had like a political awakening where I was like, oh, we have some work to do.
Right.
And it was like, okay, voting is not necessarily enough. And then there's all kinds of other things that you can do to expand the electorate and all kinds of volunteering opportunities that you have. And politics are kind of like, they're intertwined with like all other aspects of your life. So like whatever values you have, whatever's important to you, whether it's like environmental activism or animal rights or whatever, there's some legislation out there. There's like some champion out there who wants to be a legislator to talk about that. And you just kind of have to figure out who they are and support them.
Yeah, I think what's a big problem for me is like there's so much noise, and because you feel like, you know, you just hear like how corrupt so much of politics is, you don't even know like what's true.
Yeah.
And for me, I have a hard time, like it feels overwhelming to educate myself on everything, on what's actually true. And then it feels overwhelming like, okay, how do I actually vote in my best interest? Mm-hmm. Because what's bullshit and what's reality and who's actually going to be my advocate here?
Yeah.
What's the best way to sift through all of this, Katie? Like, especially as women, how do we make sure we are voting for people who have our best interests at heart and, you know, doing the things that are actually going to move the needle and everything?
Yeah. So I think it's important, like, not to get attached to certain politicians, but to figure out, like, which policies are important to you. Like, so for me, a women's right to choose is like a deal breaker. Like, if you don't believe in that, then I don't think that you're like fit to represent me, because I have a problem with people telling me what I can and can't do with my own body.
Right.
I'm terrified of climate change.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that I'm voting for, I almost said comedians.
That too. Well, Ben Glebe did run for president. Did you see that?
What?
One of our comedian ran for president this past year. That did pretty well, apparently.
What?
Yeah. Did you not see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. That was all over social media and stuff.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, yeah, you know, people out there could have
elected a comedian. It's a very small sliver of that Venn diagram with comedians and the presidency. But, you know, Ben Glebe's in that tiny
Somebody covered it. Somebody covered it, baby. Yeah.
I mean, toenail.
I would trust a comedian over a lot of the other politicians. Yeah, but, right. Yeah, I would say pick a couple policies that are important to you, and their website should have like what those are. But you'll probably start to notice a pattern if you pay attention a little bit to like what kinds of politicians are like share your values and are voting for the same kind of policies that you're interested in promoting. So, yeah.
I love that. I've never thought of it like that before, because for me, it's like, oh, my God, I got to study each person and I got to study each thing that they're into. But I love the simplification of figure out what you care about as far as policies, and then just pick the person that's doing those things.
They should make like a politics for dummies quiz type of a thing. You know how, you know, Cosmo and all those places. So it's like, I just need a quiz where it's like, okay, how do you feel about this issue? How do you feel about this issue? And then by the end of the 10 questions, it's like, here's your candidate, bitch. You know, like, this is...
You're the Miranda of the group.
Yeah. Simplify it.
Oh, man. Maybe you need to make that for your podcast, Katie.
Okay. I think it might exist for political candidates. Oh. Or, I'm sorry, for presidential candidates.
Yeah.
But it probably doesn't exist for anybody else, so
why not? It's something to think about. Nice hot tip for
you. For sure.
Yeah.
I I'm blown away by some of the statistics that you sent over. Would you mind sharing a little bit about all the voting stuff that happened in the last election and how we can improve?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the one that is most alarming to me is the percentage of millennials that voted. So millennials are the largest voting bloc now. Do you want to guess what percentage voted? You might.
80%.
Oh.
Millennials? Don't they?
62.
59% of millennials voted, according to a Pew Research poll.
I'm shocked by that because everybody seems so hashtag woke, right? Like,
well,
it seemed like very outspoken.
But that's what's so great is to hear these sort of statistics because that's, I think anywhere you're seeing that is social media, which is everybody's version of like, this is how my life looks, but is it how it really is?
Right.
You know? Yeah, that doesn't shock me, actually.
Yeah, you were really close with that guesstimate.
Did I say 52 or sorry?
You said 59.
It's 49. I'm sorry.
My
it's less than half.
Oh, my God.
49% of millennials voted. 49%. Less than half. So like one in two. Yep.
That
so every other millennial didn't vote.
All know ones that didn't vote. So like one of the easiest, like most actionable things that you can do if you don't want to like sit down and like write letters or make phone calls or do whatever is just talk, like find five friends, make sure they're all registered to vote and make sure they all have a plan to vote.
Mm.
And like that would make a huge difference because I think a lot of people are apathetic about it, but if millennials voted, if all millennials voted, we would have such a big impact on the elections. And like, in my opinion, like climate change alone is something that we should be like really, really, really pushing for legislation on.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I still can't get over 49%.
Yeah.
Because I feel like everybody likes to basically say, oh my God, about it. You know, it seems like everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even with my friends, I'm like, with that stat, people are lying to me. You know what I mean?
Well,
people gotta be lying if they're just saying, I voted today. And
but that's
it didn't happen.
Again, that's like the illusion of social media. Like you think about on Valentine's Day, your whole feed are couples and it makes you think literally everybody I follow is in a relationship, but you're only seeing the people who are posting their picture with a couple. So single people might not be posting at all that day, and people who didn't vote are not posting at all that day.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. So it skews what you think.
That's way lower than I expected.
Me too. Oh, and I like read about this stuff all the time.
Wow. So, all right. Hit me more. More, Kate. Okay. Hit me again.
Okay. Let's see. What other stats do we want to talk about?
What about the percentage of women who vote or the ethnic background of the women who vote?
I don't know. I know what percentage of women voted for Trump.
Okay.
I know what percentage of white women voted for Trump is 53%. Yes.
Okay.
So that was pretty surprising to me, too.
Wow.
Just like hearing the way that he talks about women, I like was really, really surprised that more than half of white women were
more than
on
half
board with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But overwhelmingly, like women of color voted for Hillary Clinton, like 94-96% or something like that. So
interesting.
And they're typically the ones who obviously feel the most oppression.
Yeah.
Like I think there's been several times where I've been trying to explain my experience, like walking by bus stations or something to a guy. And he's like, what do you mean that makes you nervous? And it's like, oh, well, I get sexually harassed almost every time I walk by a bus station.
Right.
He like can't wrap his head around it.
Right.
Like I think about how much stuff must go on just like that with race, where it's just like I can't wrap my head around it because I've had the privilege of being a white woman my whole life. And
we will never ever understand that,
right?
What that feels like.
So I just think it's really important to like listen to what women of color have to say, because they're kind of like the canary in the coal mine when like rights start getting taken away and things like that. So
absolutely. Wow, that's very telling, huh? Those percentages.
Wow,
holy shit, dude.
So
I mean,
what do you cover mostly on your podcast?
Like, good question.
Each
episode is a little bit different. So I try to tackle like a topic and then relate it back to what's going on in politics today, and then give some like action steps. So some examples. The first one was about white supremacy. I've had
fascinating.
One. Yeah. Oh, did you listen to that
yeah,
one?
Yeah. Fascinating.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Basically, school doesn't prepare us to be like engaged citizens, like active citizens enough. And same with like white supremacy. Like they do not talk, like they really like gloss over, I think they gloss over like coming over here and what happened with the Native Americans and then what happened with slavery. It's like seen as like an achievement that Abraham Lincoln like freed the slaves. And it's like, well, let's talk. What happened for all that stuff beforehand? Like maybe we should feel a little bit guilty about that.
Right.
But so, yeah, a lot of political, a lot of what's wrong with politics is like rooted in white supremacy, but it's just a lot more like veiled.
Yeah.
So it's really important to like pay attention to that. But there's episodes about like Mitch McConnell, who is the Senate Majority Leader. He has 400-ish bills on his desk that have been passed in the House that he's just not bringing for a vote. Which means he's like not good at his job. So like all the stuff that I think is bothering us, like, well, me at least, like gun violence.
Yes.
Like there are all kinds of policies that we could pass to make gun, like get guns out of the hands of the wrong people and all kinds of stuff like that. He just won't bring it to a vote, even though it's passed in the House. Stuff like
why is that even
he calls himself the Grim Reaper. So the real reason that he's doing that is so that he can confirm conservative judges. So they're like reshaping the courts right now. So what the Senate does is they confirm judges and they also like pass legislation that, so either it gets passed in the Senate and then it goes to the House, or it gets passed in the House and then it goes to the Senate. So the House is democratically, it has a democratic majority. So there's a lot of like bipartisan efforts in the House that have been passed, and he just like he calls them socialist, and he just won't bring them for a vote. Yeah, he's awful.
Is that legal to do? To just be like, no, this has been passed by all of you, but I'm not going to do anything with it?
He can do it. I mean, it's like it's a sign that our system is broken.
Very broken.
Yeah. Yes.
Is there anything he is bringing to the courts that are like, all right, I'm not going to talk about these 400, but this one's a winner. Like,
what? They did just finally pass like an anti-lynching legislation. Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Just now.
Just like this past week or two.
What the actual fuck?
What year is this?
There's so many things that I need to catch up
on. It's terrifying. But the other ones that he won't bring for a vote are, let's see, the Violence Against Women Act, universal background checks for firearms, lowering the cost of prescription drugs, and re-entering the Paris Climate Accord. So, and those are just a couple. Like, there's 400 bills that have been passed. A lot of them are co-sponsored by Republicans and Democrats, and he just, like, won't vote for them. And he's, because he's spending all of his time confirming really conservative judges to the federal courts, which is also very scary. Oh, well, to me.
Right. That angers me. Yeah. I don't even know this guy, and I am not happy. Oh, he needs to go on timeout.
Yeah. You'd probably recognize him if you saw him. He has, like, jowls. He looks like a turtle.
Oh, okay.
That guy.
I feel like... Aaron laughed.
Aaron.
I feel like they probably make fun of him on SNL. That's probably where I'm getting a lot of my information, sadly.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I think it's hard because, like, so many things have been in place for so long that people are not forced to look at it objectively. Mm-hmm. It's like, if this system is broken and has been broken, it's people, it's like, well, it's how we've always done things, or it's been normalized, right? And it's, like, really breaking it down. Like, no, this is not working anymore, especially if it's systemic white supremacy happening. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, that stuff, like, how do you catch that without saying, like, yeah, this is what? Nothing's different. Like, we've been doing this for centuries or whatever.
Which is basically gaslighting. Like, they're gaslighting us into thinking that, like, everything is normal and it's not, and it should change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved when you said something like, it's like the White House is being run by a bunch of our angry ex-boyfriends.
Like our worst ex-boyfriends. Like, we broke up with them, and then they decided to run for Congress, and then they promptly, like, forgot everything that we tried to teach them about, like, compassion and empathy and communication and all that stuff, which is, like, what you want in a partner, but it's also what you want in a legislator. Like, right. I want somebody who shares my values, like, legislating for me, and there are so many people who don't
right.
in Congress who just, they gotta go.
Yeah.
But, okay, so... Democrats own the House. Republicans own the Senate right now. But we only need four seats in the Senate to get rid of Mitch McConnell, which is like one of the most important things. I think a lot of people focus on the White House and how important that is. But like you can make a lot bigger difference in local elections. So California has great senators. A lot of people are like, well, what can I do about Mitch McConnell? Like, I don't live in Kentucky, but you can adopt a state and you can write letters and you can register voters there. There's a lot of stuff that you can do. And Morgan and I on each episode of our podcast try to end with, like, we talk about how pissed off we are about a certain topic, whether yeah. it be white supremacy or Mitch McConnell or one of, like, my local legislators or whatever. And then we talk about what we're doing to try and help. And it... Oh, I didn't mention my quotable, but my quotable is action is the best antidote to despair.
Ooh, by Joan Baez. So good.
Gosh, I like that.
I like it too.
Yeah.
And it really works. Like I really was getting into like a pretty dark place thinking about politics, like climate change in general, because there's this scientific consensus that we only have a certain amount of years left to really like make a big difference about it. And a lot of other countries are doing a lot of good work, and we seem to be making steps backwards. And oof. Yeah.
hurts my stomach.
I know.
Oh my gosh, what did you say about Facebook that was so mm-hmm. mind-blowing? What is happening there? That's a whole thing.
Facebook is a really, really bad place to get political news because they don't fact-check. And so many people get their political news there.
Oh my God.
And so... probably a couple months ago, like a lot of the different social medias were talking about how they were going to handle political ads.
Yeah.
And Twitter just decided that since they can't fact check everything that's going to go on their website, they just aren't going to post any political ads, which I think is the right way to go.
Right.
But the position that like Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg took is that they want people to understand or they want people to be able to see, like, when people are lying to them. But the reality of it is that nobody's going to fact check that. No. They're going to see what they see on Facebook, and then they're going to take it at face value and take it as true. But there's no punishment for it. So, like, oh there is a God. Ton of misinformation on Facebook. So just,
whoa.
I don't know. It's away a really, from really awful place
and
to
And
be.
Not just that, but, like, you know, everything your great uncle shouting
yes, exactly.
out.
Oh, God, yep. yeah.
At 2 a.m.
Oh, God. I feel basement. Like Facebook is, like, the most racist platform. Like, oh I just God. Feel like it's the most volatile in so many ways. Like, those threads that can happen are, like, yeah. quite terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems like some of the other platforms are a little bit better or more strict with certain yeah. language and things like that.
Yeah.
But I can't believe, so I could just post a story on Facebook about me being, I don't know, the next, I won the election. Mm-hmm. I'm the next president of the mm-hmm. United States.
Yeah.
Share that. And that's just, it's just out there. Yeah. And it's just a whole article that I wrote about and yeah. nobody would know.
Right.
If like they were really in the dark about this stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody would be like, yeah, well, okay. So Delaney Fisher is the president. Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
There's no like crowd control on Facebook.
No.
It's so open. You
yeah.
see too much.
Yeah.
It's like the subway in New York, you know? It's like you just, maybe you're just trying to get to work and then there's like a homeless dude with his dick out. You're like, well, I don't really want to see this, but I'm on the subway. Like, that's right. what Facebook is. Yeah. It's just, you can't control what you're seeing, really.
Oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are some hot tips then that we can all follow that are like, you know, really kind of accessible for us, we can implement into our lives. I will never go on Facebook for political information ever again after hearing that. Like, is there anything else, in your opinion, that we can kind of take away from you know, this episode?
There are a couple like different websites that just give you the information that you need. Like, so votesaveamerica.com has a lot of like, they have sample ballots that you can see. You can read all about all the different presidential candidates. They have like a lot of information on your state, like what's going on in your state. So that's a place that I like to access a lot. And then okay. swingleft.org also has a lot of like really, really good information.
The first one was Vote Save America.
Yeah, Vote okay. Save America. And then swingleft.org is where I get a lot of my information. And they also have a lot of actionable steps that you can take. So that's where I get a lot of my ideas for stuff to do whenever I'm like real pissed about Mitch McConnell or something like that. It's like, all right, I'm writing 20 letters to Kentucky voters to get out there.
So yeah.
Like, and do you feel like that's... makes an impact, like it makes
a
difference?
So they have different campaigns and a lot of different people can adopt it. So yeah, I mean, I've already written 50 just in the last couple weeks.
Like,
so wow. You mail them all a week before the election. So the election is November 3rd. So they get sent out on October 27th. So I'm just going to dump an entire, I just have like a Tupperware or like a big
wow.
Container full of them. And I'm just going to do a couple every time I get extra pissed about somebody.
Wow. Is it like the same letter and you're changing some of the names and stuff, or you like have to write a full on letter every time?
It's a partially handwritten letter. So that's with wow. Vote Forward, which is a cool organization. So it's partially handwritten. You explain like why you vote, like why it's important to you to get out and vote. And it shows them like when their election is and also where they can get more information. And it just encourages them to get out there. So it's voters who are registered to vote, but like are unlikely to go out and vote. So maybe they haven't voted in the last couple elections or something like that. So yeah, that has been proven. It's like an evidence-based program. It's been proven to increase voter turnout.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's so hard to get yourself to like... handwrite anything. I'm just impressed that you're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not as bad as it takes 5 minutes to write 15 letters or an hour to write 20. Or I'm sorry, 15 minutes to write 5 letters or an hour to write 20.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
So it's not so bad.
So anybody listening who is really just like, they're going to take their first step into being more active as a citizen.
Yeah.
And the writing letters and the knocking on doors and like doing the research is just so overwhelming for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is the very first baby step they can take to help, to basically help inform themselves about this upcoming election? Where's the, whether it's a place they can go or something they can do like today?
Good question.
Or tomorrow?
Can my answer be listen to For Your Misinformation?
No, yeah, of course. I was going to say no, yeah, no, yes, of course.
Podcast.
Well, it's great because I know we're covering a lot of different things at once on this episode, but you, every single episode is different with like a couple things. Mm-hmm. And so it's not everything all at once like we're kind of doing.
Yeah.
Great. That's a great first step.
Okay.
Show the camera your shirt. This is
oh my God, how cute is this? Look at this.
For Your Misinformation.
It's a freaking silver
newspaper
platter.
Newspaper on fire. It's an awesome shirt.
Thank you.
Check it out.
Super cute.
Yes.
Kels, do you have anything?
I don't think so. You've been fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, we haven't really gotten into politics at all on the show before. And we don't want to isolate anybody, obviously.
Right.
But we just want to talk about how people can become more aware.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway is definitely like figuring out what policies I, want to support and then just matching them to the person.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like a very simple thing to do. Any tips for... tomorrow is, what is it called again?
Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
I have a ballot. It has been mailed to me.
Very nice.
My voting place is, you know, right across the street from my apartment. Is there anything I can do to best prepare for Super Tuesday? And can you explain what the hell that is for anybody?
Sure.
Including myself.
So we're in the middle of the presidential primary. We've had... a small percentage of the delegates are already allocated because we've already had like the Iowa caucuses, Nevada, and South Carolina. But Super Tuesday is where the majority of delegates are allocated. So a candidate has to get to 1,991 delegates in order to get a majority. And most of them are allocated on Super Tuesday. California has a ton of them. So if nobody gets to that majority number, there'll be a contested convention, which I don't even really know what that means. I'm sure there'll be an episode about it later. I'll look it all up. But yeah, so it's just a matter of like gathering delegates as we go. The Illinois primary where I live is on March 17th, but Super Tuesday is a big deal because like people can get like really far ahead.
Okay. So I need to figure out what policies are most important to me and then just pick the person.
Yeah. And Vote Save America has sample ballots too. So you can go and you can see what, I mean, well, I guess you have a ballot at home, but they have sample ballots so you can look and see what's going to be on there. So you can do some research ahead of time if you want to.
Great. Yeah. And I think another big hurdle is like, you know, when people feel like they're misinformed or they don't have the information, they just don't talk about it at all. And they try, like, there's certain times where like, I don't even want to watch anything on TV about it because I feel stupid and I feel guilty for not even knowing what's going on. Yeah. And it makes me not want to take action. And I really want to get out of that.
Yeah.
And so I think people should listen to your show for your misinformation. And then can they email you in questions and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
And no question is, you know, too silly. And you cover that on the show as well.
Yeah, okay, so cool. The way it started because all of my friends, when impeachment was happening, really wanted to know what was going on. And I can spend my time, I spend a lot of my time researching politics anyway. So I started, like five different of my friends asked me to give them an update when it was going on with impeachment. And I was like, that sounds exhausting. So I just, I started doing Instagram stories and everybody loved them. Like everybody was so interested and had so many questions and just like, I got a lot of really positive feedback. So I turned it into a podcast, but still I get a lot of like content ideas from people who just have questions and want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Katie.
Yeah, and you're
the best. Yeah. Where can people find you? I know we've plugged your show, but you know, the websites or whatever you got going on.
Sure. We're mostly active on Instagram. So I would go to the @FYMIPod Instagram and you can contact us through there.
Great.
Sweet. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Katie. Yay,
thanks for having me.
Yeah. All right. Loved having Katie on.
Oh, Katie. She is so knowledgeable.
Wise owl.
She is a wise owl, and she's doing so many amazing things, and I aspire to be more like her.
Yeah, very inspirational. Just a couple quick things. Get ready for our live stream Q&A today, as this episode comes out. March 16th.
Yes.
6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our Patreon. For our patrons. All right. It's we have a new reward for Patreon members as well, a quotable submission.
Yes.
So, lots of stuff
many good
going
things.
On.
And so to catch tonight's live stream Q&A with myself, Kelsey, and Taylor, you can sign up at patreon.com/selfhelpless. It's not too late to get in there before this happens. Yep. And we're looking forward to it. We're going to just be hanging out with you guys for an hour, and we're going to be an open book with whatever kind of questions you got.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. If there's ever a time to join Patreon, today is the day for sure. We have an iTunes review of the episode.
We sure do.
You want to read
this? This is from Lex Wheel.
Dope name.
Love and obsessed with this podcast. Hashtag girls rule. Listen to this once and I'm hooked. I love the girls and think they're hilarious and so relatable. 5 stars all around. Oh, Lex.
Thank
you. You're such a gem. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time to do it. As always, if you haven't yet, just hop on your phone right now. If you got your computer in front of you. It's one tap.
It's a little button.
Click the 5th star.
Even I figured it out, you guys. And you know how I am with technology.
Yeah, I mean, truly, if you can do it, a raccoon can do it. There's no excuse for anybody. Get out there. Get out there and help us if you can. We have some segments, I think.
Yeah, go for it, Kelsey.
Okay, well, I don't have anything groundbreaking to share this week, but
Just leave now.
I'm sorry. I have been feeling a little burnt out lately. Had a lot of travel. A lot of airplane time, people in my ear freaking me out about coronavirus.
Oh, God.
I've been getting a little burnt out, but I'm excited for all the work I have. I just have started to realize I need to invest in self-care again a little bit. I think I was falling off the wagon with it. So I made a list recently of like 20 things that make me feel good to do, just a 20-step self-care type of thing. And I've been trying to go through and do one thing every day. So I got a massage a couple days ago. It was really nice. I did one of those kind of like skincare spa nights for myself the night before that, and did the mask and exfoliated. And it's just that reminder that you don't have to go crazy and blow like $1,000 on treating yourself to make yourself feel good. But if you take something every day, that it can kind of keep you balanced and helps me from slipping into that bad burnout place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I have a defuck turning into good shit because I've also been in that burnout place really bad.
Yeah.
Kelsey knows.
She's
seen me in the thick of it recently. And I just realized that I have to restructure some stuff for myself in my different businesses. And I just kind of hit a point where it's such a strange concept because I love everything I do so much. But the problem with loving it so much is I want to do it all the time. And that also becomes a problem. It doesn't make sense that you can get burnt out by the things that you love doing, but you can. And so it's like
such a good reminder,
right? And because, you know, this is really the first year I've experienced that, because everything else before this kind of period of my life is like I never really super loved what I was doing, and so it was so much easier to take breaks for me. And now I feel like I understand where you and Taylor are coming from a lot of the time, is like, oh shit, now I love everything I'm doing, and I haven't experienced that thus far, and I'm having a really hard time like setting boundaries. And so I've had to really sit down and make some tough decisions in my businesses. Like I'm only able to take on like a handful of one-on-one clients now. I'm hiring an assistant finally to get me some help, which happens to be my sister, which I'm so excited. I was going to be hiring a VA in the next couple months, and she mentioned that she was looking for a part-time job. I'm like, wait a minute, I forget that you're like a real person because I just see you as my little sister.
Right.
But you have a brain and you know how to work computers. It's fantastic. Yeah. So I'm hiring her, and then I'm going to be hiring another cartoonist for Dick Spy Delaney. So I'm just kind of streamlining things to kind of help me manage all of this and be able to take a little bit of a step back, so I can also partake in the more of the daily self-care and stuff.
Yeah,
so it's a defuck that turned into a good shit, right?
Good.
Sometimes you have to like hit that awful wall to be like, okay, time to figure some shit out. And then things get better.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
We're doing it.
We're doing it, guys. We're doing our best. So, you know, like we said, this comes out on March 16th. I'm going to be headlining Go Bananas in Cincinnati this weekend, Thursday the 19th through the 22nd. And then I'm going to be in New York City Monday the 23rd through the 25th doing some local shows there. You can go to my website, kelseycook.com, for those specific dates and shows around New York. And then Grand Rapids Dr. Grin's Comedy Club in Grand Rapids, April 9th through the 11th. And then Spokane Comedy Club, May 7th through the 9th. And I can't wait to see you guys.
Nice.
I feel like there's going to be helpsters at all those, and it'll be awesome to meet you.
Beautiful. And I'll just, I'll just give a shout out to dicksbydelaney.com, you guys. If you want to get a digital dick cartoon that you can print on anything that you want, you know, turn your favorite person into a penis. I mean, what what greater gift is there?
What else do you want from this woman, okay?
I mean, you guys, okay, I seriously love seeing what my customers do with these dick cartoons. One of them just dickified her significant other and put it on a pillow for Valentine's Day. And people, oh my God, one of my customers dickified all of her friends and made a coloring book out of it.
Fuck off.
And gave it to all of the friends. And so every friend is opening up this coloring book, and it is a different friend as a penis that they can color in. I mean, I love the fact that this business has become like, you know, almost like a collaboration where the customer gets to get really creative too, like with what they do with it. And so, I mean, I've seen shot glasses and coffee mugs and tote bags and framing it in the living room, and it's just so freaking funny. So if you want to get a dick cartoon, I know that St. Patrick's Day is coming up. We often get orders that are kind of funny for that holiday. And then really coming up is wedding season, where we get a lot of people dickifying brides and grooms, either for bachelorette parties or bachelor parties, or for like a gift for the couple. And I'm really excited to see those because they always turn out so freaking cute. So dicksbydelaney.com, my cartoonist does an amazing job, and we are about to hire another cartoonist so we can take even more orders on board. And I'm very excited about all of it.
These dicks are getting bigger, baby.
They are. We're growing. Pun intended.
All right. Well, wouldn't be the self-helpless show without a dick. Just a little dick to wrap it
up.
We love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And,
yes.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on ttomcomedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at kelseycook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at kelseycookcomedy. Twitter is at kelseycook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.